Moving Iron Podcast is proud to be part of the Global Ag Network. The network is live, so check out globalagnetwork.com for more details and updates. Now on to the show.
Moving Iron in the 21st century. Hardworking people working hard for you and me. Moving Iron time and time again.
Hello and welcome to Moving Iron Podcast Market Rundown with Chip Nellinger. Chip, this is a Monday instead of a Sunday like normal, but we still have some pretty active stuff happening in the market. I was glad to see market corn figure up there around that $4 and a penny mark, so I haven't seen it there for a little while. So talk to me a little bit about what's going on there and how do you see the kind of the markets heading into this big report on Friday?
Yeah, we definitely had an increase in volatility. We kind of talked about that here for the last couple months. We've gone nowhere in these markets for several months, and all of a sudden, you know, drop of a hat here, we've got some volatility back. So corn has had a nice bounce, working on 20 cents off the lows here in a couple weeks. I think a couple things at work. Number one, we did have China in for U.S. corn last week, 300,000 metric tons. It's the first time in, two and a half years that they've bought that much corn. And, you know, the hope and expectation is that they're going to buy even more. Remember, a couple months back, when they bought 10 million metric tons of beans, it took them several chunks to do that. So there's some hope that they're going to continue to buy corn. There's some ongoing talks right now in Beijing on trade issues. So there's some expectations that that's going to continue to progress us along closer to a final agreement there. We got the weather that's starting to be an issue, particularly out your way. Massive flooding, arguably as bad, if not maybe a little bit worse than 1993. So we got a lot of that. On top of that, in this whole framework, you've got commodity funds, speculative commodity funds, have a record short position in corn of approximately 260,000 contracts. So, pretty good combination. We talked about that. That's what you want to see. You want the funds loaded up on the short side. You want some sort of spark or sparks to cause the market to rally, for them to trigger getting out of their positions, to neutralize those positions. They have to buy back those short positions. That creates some buying. You're coming into the end of the month, end of a quarter. We hit the 50-day moving average today at the highs in the corn market. That's one of the main moving averages that the funds use. If we happen to be able to close above that, particularly for the week, that could spur some additional buying by the funds. Here's how fast this thing can change. You look at the hog market. We're on contract lows. All of a sudden, two and a half weeks go by. China's a big buyer of U.S. pork 2 weeks ago. 1 week ago, they followed up with some more live purchases. Hog markets rallied $25 straight up, one of the biggest rallies percentage-wise and price-wise ever. Probably one of the top three biggest rallies in the hog market ever. Just goes to show you the power of, number one, the funds, number two, China. And then as far as the grains go, you know, we're speeding into the 1st of April here, and, you know, all these weather issues that the Western Corn Belt's having, flooding and more snow coming out your way, and rain, just really cold temperatures, really unseasonably cold out our way. The sun's starting to shine, but we're really struggling to get north of 60 and still down in the 20s at night, so the soil temperature is really not warming like it should be. And we have rain this weekend, not a tremendous amount, but probably, upwards of a half of an inch. So really slow start to spring. Things are set up. If we could have a couple things line up, which when they're starting to lean that way with a late start to spring, flooding issues, China trade agreements, potential and the potential for more Chinese buying of U.S. corn and other products as well. You know, remember all along, it's kind of been leaked out in the press that a trade agreement would probably include U.S. DDGs and ethanol, and probably sorghum as well. So, you know, the market may be set for some expansion and volatility to the upside, and that's something we haven't seen in a while. And it really will be a welcome sight to farmers. There's a lot of old crop corn that's left out there that needs price. That will limit us a little bit on the rally, but, you know, this thing with snap of your fingers could be an entirely different ballgame because of the potential for these Chinese purchases of U.S. corn. There's been numbers talked about, 3 million tons to 10 million tons. There's been a little bit of chatter that could be north of 10 million tons. Let's put it in perspective. 10 million metric tons of corn is, 320, 30 million bushels. When we're sitting here with a carryout of $1.9 billion, that's a big chunk of corn right off the balance sheet, right off the carryout. So again, if that comes to pass, totally different ballgame than what we're looking at right now. Puts us in a position where we have to raise a big crop again. You mentioned the acreage report this Friday. We've got the acreage report coming out. It may not matter much. It may be more about what the two-week forecast is out your way and what the river situation is. Massive flooding. But it's my least favorite report of the year. End of March, prospective plantings report. You also have a quarterly stocks report thrown in there as well. So that can always be a big market mover in itself as a quarterly stocks report. On top of that, the acreage report and all this other issue that we've got going on with weather in China. So it's been boring for a long time, and it's not boring anymore in these markets.
Yeah, a lot of things have happened, a lot of moving parts here of late. I mean, there's just a lot of things happening with the funds in China and everything else that just ran down. But so let's talk a little bit about the hog market. Hog market is one of those things that has gone has had a little bit of a chance to kind of get a breather here and kind of rebound a little bit, especially with what we're hearing about in China. And they're taking some hogs, it sounds like. Talk about the hog market and where you see it headed.
Yeah, well, just to show you how quickly this thing can change, right? So 3 weeks ago, we're on contract lows. China comes in, buys a large amount of U.S. pork 2 weeks ago. The market just shoots higher, 25 bucks higher. A couple days where we closed the limit up and then expanded limit up, which is $4.50 in hogs. So we've had just massive volatility. We've had ranges, daily ranges that have been $6+ low to high. So today was a pretty wild day. You know, at one point we were up $1.50. We were lower, made a couple round trips, and closed the back months a little bit lower. So we've got these deferreds up over $100. It's only happened, I think, twice in history, but don't quote me on that. Certainly we're in rare air here. And nobody knows where we're going to go. How much more pork is China going to purchase? You know, they're buying this pork ahead of any agreement. So once the agreement comes, we know they've got their issues with, Asian swine flu, or African swine flu, I should say. That's ongoing. It's decimated their hog herd. They need pork in a bad way. They're buying it from us. How much more do they have to buy? It's kind of an unknown. Now, we're not going to go straight up. This market's going to get gut-wrenching. And when you see this kind of volatility, you're going to, you're going to see days and strings of days where you think the market's just over, it's dead, it's done. We can break $10-$15 in hogs real easily over the course of 4 or 5 days and still not have seen the highs yet. 2 weeks later, you could be in a new highs way over 100. So where it stops, is it possible to say? How much more pork is China going to buy? Impossible to say. But it just goes to show you what we harp on all the time. You got to have a plan. You got to know what your numbers are. You got to know what you're willing to accept as far as profitability. And there's tools out there with option strategies that, if structured correctly, can let you have your cake and eat it too. Meaning you can protect the downside, but still leave the top side open. You just have to know what tools are available and have a plan to implement that and not get handcuffed by this volatility. I don't think the high is probably in, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't be doing something to protect some risk in here. You know, with summer month hogs over $100, it just doesn't happen very often. And that doesn't mean they can't go to 120 or 130, but, you know, you have to at some point say enough's enough, and we're back to wild profitability. Let's lock some of that in, because it's been a while for the hog producer.
Yeah. Yep. The other part of the livestock part, you know, you start looking at cattle and the not just necessarily the flooding that we see a lot on the news and the stuff that's going on there, and that is very bad. But it's just been a long winter for cattle producers, especially, you know, the feedlot guys. You know, you're looking at rate of gain and just sloppy, nasty, cold conditions that are just have been hard. You know, it's been a tough winter for that. So the cattle market's just been kind of gotten beat up here a little bit. So what do you see happening there, and where do you see that heading?
Yeah, again, just like we talked in the hogs, right, cattle have had a lot of bullish news built in with the feeding conditions and blizzards and floods and you name it. It's been a really rough winter, probably one of the hardest winters ever for feedlot operators. So where does it stop? We had a cattle on feed report last Friday. It was a little bit negative. The numbers were higher, especially a couple categories. The placements and on feed were both higher than expected. And we got hit pretty hard today. We're down about $2 in the cattle. Funds are sitting right at just shy of a record long position. And this market won't go up forever. So just like we talked in the hogs, right, you got to have a plan. You know, even though it's been a hard winter and start to spring, and, you know, focus is elsewhere, it's got to be on the markets as well. And so eventually these markets have the most bullish news factored in. This could be the start of a deeper break. I think tomorrow is going to be very important to see if we can bounce back a little bit. If we don't, and we can, we happen to violate 120 in the June contract to the downside, that could open the floodgates up for some pretty heavy fund liquidation. And again, it doesn't mean that we've even seen the top yet, but you could have a $8, $10 break off the highs and still not have seen the highs yet, because the feeding conditions, the rate gain, the rate of gain out there, you know, cost of gain has gone through the roof. So we're going to have these issues for a while with lighter carcass weights and just getting cattle out. And some of the roads in eastern Nebraska and other areas, South Dakota, they're gone. I mean, I heard a story today of, you know, feedlot, the truck driver for the feed truck. Literally, it's, he's got to travel 4 miles to get, or 40 miles to get just a couple miles down the road to feed the cattle because the roads are gone. And so it's abysmal conditions out there. But it doesn't mean that we haven't, at least temporarily, seen the top in the cattle market. So again, not to, you know, beat on the drum here, but got to have a plan with where you're at and be ready to execute. We've had some really good levels out there. I think a lot of feedlot guys have some hedges and protection in place, but the way these funds operate, they decide it's over, we've had a nice run, let's put our money to work somewhere else, drop the bottom out of cattle market to $10-$12 in a matter of days. So you gotta have a plan and you gotta execute it when you hit your levels.
Yep. So the report comes out Friday. Do you feel like there's going to be any kind of big flip anywhere in there from corn to soybeans from what was maybe anticipated?
Well, price-wise, you mean?
Yeah. I mean, and just as far as prospective planted acres and those kind of things, I mean.
Yeah, you know, that's why I hate the acres report. So they do a survey of farmers as of the 1st of March. Well, you know, lots changed since 1st of March. So this year especially, I think it's going to be more about weather, the Western Corn Belt. There's a stocks report there, so the Anchorage report itself is very volatile and often you know, missed by the average estimates, and quarterly stocks reports are the same way. They're very volatile in nature and hard to predict ahead of time. You throw that together with large fund positions on the short side, the end of a month, end of a quarter coming, you know, the funds oftentimes get paid incentive fees either at the end of a month and or quarter, and, you know, it's on closed trades usually. So you have an open trade. If you're short corn for the last 50 cents with 50 cents of profit, and you're a fund manager, you're not getting paid on that until you take your profit. So that alone, the combination of weather, quarterly stocks, planted acreage, China, and the funds being record short can really mean a lot of volatility in here. So it's we could really see a rapid expansion of volatility, both up and down, right? It's just going to be bigger swings than what we've been used to the last 6 months. And that's good, though. It's good, but you got to be prepared for it and know what you're going to do on big price breaks, know what you're going to do on big price rallies, because you can see both. And both give you opportunities to do different things and position yourself in the markets.
Yep. With all the stuff that we've talked about so far, I mean, do you feel like you can see upwards of 450 corn by harvest this year if everything continues and we get a deal with China and some stuff falls into place?
Yeah, I think that's possible. I really do. You know, it depends on a lot of those things we talked about, the weather and China in particular. But absolutely, I think that right now at this stage of the game, you can't rule out the possibility we could see $4.50 new crop corn futures at some point in time. If there's ever a threat of China, if you're getting a deal and China starts buying corn in large amounts, and there's ever a threat to the market perceives a threat of lower than trend line yields, you know, you couldn't rule out $4.75 or $5. I wouldn't hang my hat on that and build a marketing plan around we're not going to do anything until we get $5. But you could see plenty of volatility, plenty of upside in this market. Probably corn is the most friendly longer term. If we do continue to stay on the wet side and these acres can't get planted to corn, that means likely more bean acres. We already got too many beans in the world and big ending stocks here. So if the weather stays wet and cold, clear on into May, and the flooding situation doesn't you know, let up, we could maybe you know, argue that you're going to plant more bean acres than we need, and that could cap beans a little bit. I think if there is a China deal, beans will rally. I think they could rally 30 to 50 cents just on the announcement of a China deal. Does that hold? I doubt it. So, you know, we're just 6 months away at any point in time from a big crop, whether that's the southern hemisphere or the northern hemisphere. So that's part of the problem with the bean market. Wheat, you know, could get really dicey for spring wheat planting if it stays wet and flooded, particularly up north. So wheat could have a little bit of upside here, maybe led by spring wheat. And I don't know, it's getting exciting. Finally, we've it's been a dreary 6 or 7 months in the grain markets and the hog market, for that matter. And I think we're starting to change the tone of the market a little bit with the season here. So hopefully we're coming into a new season where we get some upside, at least some expansion volatility, so producers get an opportunity to see profitable levels and a chance to lock some of that in. It's been a pretty depressing winter for sure.
Yep, it has been. It definitely has been that. So, Chip, if folks want to reach out to you and talk about a plan or work on a plan that maybe can point in some right directions, how would they do that?
Yeah, that's where you just call our office, 309-550-7213. Love to chat with you. Pretty critical time here, so feel free to give us a call. No obligation, you know, no pressure. We'd love to chat with you before it gets too busy at spring here. And these markets, I feel like, are about to get really interesting and really volatile. So it's higher prices don't always mean it's easier to market, right? It's still emotional and it's really hard to pull the trigger. So we'd be happy to chat with you.
Yep. Absolutely, Chip. All right, Chip. Wait, well, I appreciate you working with me here and coming on Monday, and we'll talk to you again on Sunday, buddy.
You bet. You have a great week. Thank
All right. you. We'll see you. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Moving Iron Podcast, now part of the Global Ag Network. If you'd like to continue any of these conversations, you can hit me up on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at Moving Iron LLC. You can also send me an email at Moving Iron Podcast at MovingIronPodcast.com. You can also visit the Moving Iron Podcast YouTube channel and watch Market Roundup with Chip Mellinger, Sean Hackett, and Angie Setzer. Also, Tax News with Glenn Birnbaum. Please visit MovingIronLLC.com. Here you can find information, details, and updates for the 2019 Moving Iron Summit in Nashville, Tennessee. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can leave a review and subscribe at iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, SoundCloud, and GlobalAgNetwork.com. So until next time, let's go move some iron. This is Casey Seymour. Out.
Moving iron in the 21st century. Hardworking people working hard for you and me. Moving iron time and time again. Through the years you'll find us here. Moving